Thank you, worship team. Thank you, choir. Good evening, church. On behalf of the pastors, staff, and elders, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us in our Christmas Eve celebration. We're about to do one of my favorite things that we do all year, which is sing Silent Night by candlelight. Judging from the scattered light bulbs I see out there, some of our kids are really excited to do that as well. But before we do that, we're getting there, I know, and I'm ready to get there too. It's my favorite thing. But before we do that, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the reason we're celebrating tonight, which, as we've already said, is the birth of Jesus Christ. And a couple months ago, Pastor David came to me with a couple of the options for the songs that we might sing in this service. And the one that struck me was the one that we just heard, Manger Throne. And what I really liked about it was that what it talked about was something that I don't really think about very much, which is that Jesus didn't have to come the way that he came. You know, we're so familiar with the nativity scene and story. We hear it, if you grew up in the church especially, you hear it every single year. Jesus was born in a manger, born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. We get so used to that that we don't think about the fact that it didn't have to be a stable. Like, it wasn't God's poor planning that caused Jesus to be born in the way that he was. Now, if you know me at all, you know I'm not a very good planner at all. And there's one time, my wife handles a lot of our travel planning, and there was one time at the right at the end of our honeymoon, we were driving back from Alabama, and kind of last minute, we realized we're going to need a place to stay, and so I went on some website and booked a place, and let's just say it was less than desirable. There's bulletproof glass at the check-in, and a couple of shady characters hanging around outside the hotel, and the neighborhood surrounding the hotel. We had a few establishments that you wouldn't want to find yourself in, and if you catch my drift, this was not a good place to be. And I was pretty oblivious and also tired from a long day of driving, so we get into our hotel room, and I just kind of, you know, hopped in bed. And meanwhile, Emily is standing there by the door, suitcase still on, shoes still on, just kind of looking at me while I'm laying in bed. And just kind of like this look in her eye, like, are you seriously going to make me stay here? And finally, she realized I wasn't picking up on her nonverbal cues very well. So she gave me verbal cues. She said, we're not staying here tonight. And so we put my clothes back on and hopped in the car and drove. I think we found a Hampton Inn or something. And she was right, by the way. I'm 100% certain that she saved us from getting bed bugs that night, so I'm very thankful. But we stopped at that hotel. It was because of my poor planning and probably failure to read Google reviews. But like, God didn't have that problem on the night that Jesus was born. It wasn't like, oh, darn it, I forgot about the census going on. Probably all the hotels are going to be booked up. Like, oh boy, this is not good. Like, when we think about it, it's amazing. You see that manger scene right there. And we don't know exactly what it looked like, but like, the Father chose for the Son to be born in the humblest of circumstances. Like, this is what God wanted. And this is the wonder of Christmas, that the highest of the high came in a direct collision with the lowest of the low. And what resulted was astounding. And so this evening, as we prepare to light candles in just a few moments and celebrate the light of the world, I want to take a look at a few of the humble elements that make the birth of Jesus so amazing. And the first is this, that Jesus was born to humble parents. Humble parents. Never mind how amazing it is that Jesus was born as a baby. Like, think about that. The Son of God spending 9 months in his mother's womb. It is mind-blowing. Like, that alone is mind-blowing enough when you think about it. But Jesus' parents were also very humble. They're from a nowhere town called Nazareth. Later in the Gospels, when people find out where Jesus is from, they marvel, can anything good come from Nazareth? And they had to travel to another nowhere town called Bethlehem, where Jesus would be born. So they're not from anywhere special. And the Bible also makes it clear, Mary and Joseph did not have any money. And when it came time for Jesus to be circumcised in the temple, Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice of two pigeons, which is the sacrifice in the Old Testament that's reserved for the poorest of the poor. Like, Jesus was born to very humble parents, but at the same time, his parents have an extraordinary lineage, Now, some of you have inevitably had the experience of deciding, you know, January 1st is a week and a half away, and you've had the experience of saying, you know what, I'm going to read through the Old Testament, or the New Testament this year. Starting January 1st, I'm going to read through the New Testament. You turn to Matthew chapter 1, excited and ready to go, and what are you greeted with? But a gigantic list of names, right? And if that happens to you, like, push through Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 2. It gets better, I promise. But that list of names is actually really important. Matthew's genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 traces the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. Joseph was the reason that Jesus was able to claim to be an heir, to the Davidic throne. You see, the people of Israel were waiting for a king in the line of David to take David's place to rule forever. And even though Mary and Joseph were humble parents of humble means, those parents had an extraordinary lineage which gave Jesus the right to claim to be the true king of Israel. So Jesus was born to humble parents with an extraordinary lineage. Secondly, like we've already mentioned, the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth were as humble as they could possibly be. Wouldn't be a Christmas Eve service if I didn't read Luke chapter 2. It says this, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, like we just said, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn." There's no more humble birth than that. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a cradle of hay. Like we just heard saying, he could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see. Jesus could have done that. It wasn't that he lacked the ability to do that. But instead, he was born in the little town of Bethlehem and laid in a manger. Now, just because his birth was humble doesn't mean that nothing remarkable happened that night. Because just outside that stable with the cradle of hay, something remarkable was happening. Jesus had a humble birth, but it was accompanied by extraordinary signs. And keep going in Luke chapter 2. "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" The shepherds were stereotypical salt of the earth people back then, and they were just minding their own business, keeping watch over their sheep. All of a sudden, I mean, imagine it. The heavens opened up, and an angel appeared, and then a multitude of angels. I cannot imagine. What a sight. A welcome committee fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I promise you this, the shepherds didn't doubt for a second whether there was something special about this baby. It was a humble birth, yes, but accompanied by extraordinary signs from heaven that there was something special about this baby. It wasn't just Jesus' beginnings that were humble either. His whole ministry was marked by humility. He was a humble Savior. A humble Savior. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 10, "For even the Son of Man," talking about himself, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus didn't come, we see in Philippians chapter 2, to lord his authority over everyone, although he would have been right to do so. It is unthinkable, but the Son of God came to serve, even to the point of giving his life on the cross. He's a humble Savior, yes, but he also made an extraordinary claim. He came humbly. He lived his life humbly, serving others. But he wasn't shy about telling people who he was or why he came. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus says, maybe there's other places you've been looking for light, but there's only one place to find it. I am the light. I am the light for people who have walked in darkness. Jesus says, "I am the hope for the hopeless. I am peace for the anxious. I am strength for the weary. I am healer of the sick and broken." If you believe in me, Jesus says, you will no longer walk in darkness. And my question for you this evening, as we ponder the birth of Jesus, is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus truly is the light of the world, the Son of God, the King who sits on a manger throne? Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will no longer walk in darkness, will no longer be without hope, will no longer be lost, will no longer be put to shame for what they've done, will no longer pay the penalty for their sins. John chapter 1 tells us, like we just heard, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And let me just say, you on your own do not have the right to call yourself a child of God. But Jesus came so that all who believed in his name would know and be received as his children. And so tonight, if you're not following Jesus, I just want to take a moment in the midst of this Christmas season to just ask you, stop trying to do life on your own. Stop trying to be your own Savior. Stop trying to find the ultimate source of joy somewhere in yourself or outside of yourself in the world. Jesus says, it's only in me. Follow me. I am the light of the world. Jesus came in the humblest of ways so that we could see his glory shining as brightly as possible. Because now if you're following Jesus, church, you're not just called to have the light, but what? Spread the light. Spread the light. And that's what we're about to do, to symbolize with our candles, to spread. The light didn't just come into the world, but it spread throughout the world through the church. And so as we, as the church, hold our candles and the light spreads, it's a symbol of why Jesus came and what we're called to do now. For hundreds of years after the last prophets, the people walked in darkness. That night before the first Christmas, nobody knew the light was coming. that the hope of the nations was about to be born and placed in a manger in Bethlehem. But tonight we know. Tonight we're going to celebrate by lighting candles to signify that the light has come into the world. So as our volunteers come forward, they're going to light their candles and then go to the rows to light yours. Kids, for those of you, the few of you who have been waiting patiently to turn your candles on, now's your time. We're going to sing Silent Night. And on the final verse, when we get to the phrase, Son of God loves pure light, I'm going to ask that we all carefully raise our candles in the air to celebrate the Son of God coming into the world. So please stand. And as you're able, have your candles lit. Take a moment, soak in the moment. Love this. The light of the world came into the world so that we walked in darkness would see the light. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming that first Christmas, for coming the way that you did, humbly, yet with an extraordinary claim. And that claim was true. You are the light of the world, and you came to die. You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. We'll worship you this evening. Ask that you would fill us with your joy, your hope, and your peace. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Rock Prairie, from our family to yours, we want you to know that we love you, and we hope you have a very Merry Christmas.